Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. You may say, who the hell am I? I am a professional actor. I have been for 40 years. You must know me better as Howling Mad Murdoch on television's The A-Team and Reginald Barclay on Star Trek The Next Generation and Voyager. And I understand what a privilege it is to be behind this microphone, which is connected to perhaps the most loyal audience in all of talk radio. I have to tell you, when I really became aware of Michael Savage, always aware, but I mean really aware of Michael Savage, when Nick Berg was slaughtered after 9/11, around 2004, there was only one voice of truth on the radio. I heard a man play something that was repugnant, which was the slaughter of a human being. The act of playing it was not repugnant. In fact, it was the only access to the living reality of the enemy that we face that I could find. And I stood up and I shouted, thank God there is someone who understands exactly what it is that we are facing in this country. I was riveted. I was also shocked by the response to an act of courage. I understood what courage on the radio was to play that because no one else could or would do it. In fact, since that time, cowardice has only grown. But I knew Michael Savage, Dr. Michael Savage, when I heard that, and I knew I would always be listening to him. I never knew that I would actually have the privilege and the opportunity to sit behind the microphone that connects him to people like me. I understand the importance of it. I am beside myself, almost. It's a fantasy to be here. Most people in their lifetime do not experience an opportunity like this. But I do not take it lightly. I take it seriously. Although there is an absurdity that makes me laugh. I think back to that day when I heard that scream of life being slit away from someone, cut out of someone. And I go up to Michael Savage's website, michaelsavage.com. You can see who is banned in Great Britain. Who is it who has been banned from the country that supposedly is the height of civilization, understanding, and intelligence? Michael Savage. Dr. Michael Savage. It is, well, you think it's beyond belief. Particularly because just a few weeks ago, I scanned the internet for stories. I'm an Anglophile. When I was a young kid, I used to listen to British actors. They all came out of my head. I did a lot of impressions. And I just became this great Anglophile. Almost everything that I was told about Great Britain and the BBC and their television system, their news and everything, when I finally got over there, none of it was true. I still loved it. I still loved Great Britain. I thought it was a phenomenal place. I saw some of the best theater I've ever seen in my life. But there were many myths. So here is another myth that's being created, that Michael Savage should be on any list that bans him from a country that calls itself civilized while it is being eaten away from the inside by an obvious carnivore. I was reading an article in The Telegraph that was recounting Sir David Frost on the BBC. He was interviewing a comedian whose name was Rory Bremner. The headline in The Telegraph is, "Afraid to joke about Islam. Afraid to joke about Islam." Isn't that a funny thing? Michael Savage, a talk radio host in the United States, who speaks the truth. It may be the naked truth, it may be difficult to take, but he speaks the truth. He tries to save lives, because the truth does save lives. It hurts, but it saves lives. And here, right in Great Britain, where they have banned this man, here is this story. A man afraid to tell a joke. He says, "When I'm writing a sketch about Islam, I'm writing a line and I think, if this goes down badly, I'm writing my own death warrant there, because there are people who will say, not only do I not think that's funny, but I'm going to kill you. And that's chilling." And Michael Savage is banned from this country. There should be an upcry, an outcry, an outpouring of fury at Great Britain because of this. Each and every one of us should be banned from Great Britain. I have said things far worse than I have heard Michael Savage say on the radio. He hasn't even said anything that one could construe in science fiction that is hateful, unless to you the truth is hateful. We see the symptoms. What now? And why would this be happening? I throw this out to you. I throw this out to the listeners of the Michael Savage Show. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255 to this loyal audience. Why has this country, Great Britain, banned Savage? What is the real reason? I can come up with four or five reasons. I can come up with one big one that's staring everybody in the face. But I want to hear from you on this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, it is, it's beyond words that we even have to address this in modern day America. This is an attack on America, by the way. This is petty. It's personal. It's ugly. And at the very highest levels of government, it should be dealt with. I don't think we have any hope for that, because I don't think that the people in the highest levels of our government, in the State Department in particular, have any concern right now for freedom of speech or the truth. We are headed down the same road that Great Britain right now finds itself headed on. In fact, they're going to be there 30 years prior to us, unless we change direction. I think we, because of people like Dr. Michael Savage, and because of talk shows, like the talk show that he has created, I think we have an opportunity to change that direction. But it's just an opportunity. It's not guaranteed. Because we can see that those who in Europe now have tried to take the other road, the road to socialism, we see that it doesn't breed courage. It's not a spawning ground for individuals who will stand up and say, it's time to make the change. I see where we're headed, and we're not going to take that road. No. The very term, well, you can find it everywhere in Marxist literature. You can find, I don't understand why people have such a difficult time using the word socialism applied to even our present-day leadership, when it has been so lovingly embraced around the world, and it's right there in the Communist Manifesto. And if you find the preamble to the Communist Party of the United States of America, you will find the word socialism and the prayers for its establishment. We have been fortunate up until now, but now is the time to change. I've been a professional actor for 40 years, ladies and gentlemen. I have always been a conservative. I think it's because my mother was a telephone operator, my father a letter carrier, loved me. When I got to college, I found it quite extraordinary. No one loved their parents. No one. I had nothing in common with the – I could not understand it. I loved my parents. Most of the students that I met there didn't love theirs. I think that's why today I'm a conservative, because I came from a family, modest though we were. We loved one another. There are many reasons. We can think back to our upbringing. We can go back and churn it. But there is something rotten in the state of Denmark, folks. It's in the air. The family being destroyed. Yellow jaundice everywhere. And a path that clearly we do not want to take. Go up to michaelsavage.com. If you can, help him out here. Because you're helping yourself out. This is Dwight Schultz. I'm sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I still have butterflies in my stomach. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255 if you want to be a guest on Dr. Savage's Savage Nation. We have some things for you today that I hope you will enjoy and that will be revelatory. If you haven't heard Megyn Kelly and Kirsten Powers talking about the Black Panther case, you are going to be astonished. Megyn Kelly, forgive me, Dr. Savage, she does something that you do. She does it very well. She never lets you down. And recently, she has been in the forefront of a blockbuster case dealing with the Black Panthers, which reaches the highest levels of this government, doesn't everything, in which no white individual who is the victim of a black individual there will be no case. There will be no prosecution in such a case. And Megyn Kelly's been in the forefront with Christian Adams, a lawyer who quit. You are going to hear an astonishing takedown by Megyn Kelly of Kirsten Powers. And it isn't just the facts of the case. It isn't just debate, because debate isn't always revelatory. Not always. Sometimes you get to the truth. Sometimes you don't get to the truth. Sometimes it just proves that one person is a better linguist, someone who's better trained in argument. But in this particular case, the brain of the liberal was fried to such an extent that deep revelations, it was like quarks, protons, small atomic particles coming out. And you could look at each one, and you could suddenly see that there is no real intellect there. There's a lot of emotion. Oh, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of feeling. But there's no intellect there. And even though Megyn Kelly gets pretty hot when she speaks, the intellect is intact. It's astonishing. It's astonishing. Please stay with us for that. There's a lot of talk today going around that perhaps our president will not run for a second term, and that maybe Hillary Clinton would love to run against him, take his place, become president of the United States. And I thought to myself, you know, we don't need another Alinskyite. We don't. And so I dug up some recordings of Saul Alinsky and an interview that he gave in Playboy magazine years and years ago. I had a copy of it, the magazine. Sorry. I'm a man. What can I say? I'm a human being. I was one of those, a heterosexual male. And, of course, I only bought it for the interviews. And where do you read this? Where do you hear it, rather? I'm going to read it. Where do you hear this? It's so, these people who are Alinskyites, who are the children of this man's thinking. And who is this man? You've heard his name. You've heard the book Rules for Radicals thrown out there. Have you heard him speak? Have you heard his voice? Have you heard anyone really read his words? What was he interested in? Oh, ladies and gentlemen, please stay with us. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. It's rare that people do to me what Michael Savage does to me, which is hold my attention in a vice. Megyn Kelly does it. She just shocks me. I'll miss it. Somebody will say something, and she doesn't let something pass. And all of a sudden, the truth comes out. And it comes out, it's grandfather clocks coming out of grapefruit. And you are so astonished by it, and you sit back and you say, well, why didn't I think of that? Well, that's because there are people, and then there are people. The Black Panther case, which is now, by the way, my name is Dwight Schultz. I need to remind everybody who I am. Of course, why the hell should you know who I am? I'm a professional actor, have been for 40 years, a conservative out here in Hollywood, mostly alone. I have one bloody friend in my entire life out here who actually lives in Montana. And it's been a tough hoe. But the radio has kept me alive. Yep, radio, talk radio has kept me alive here. But that's who I am. You'll find out more about me as the show progresses. Megyn Kelly was in the forefront of this blockbuster case in which a career lawyer for the Department of Justice quit because an edict came down from a political appointee that no longer will there be any prosecution of a case in which a white person is the victim of a black person. This is, by any definition of the word, unsettling. And it is illegal. But Christian Adams quit. And he came forward, and he quit so that he could, in fact, tell the truth. It's a very elaborate story. He writes up at Pajamas Media. You can go up there if you do not have not heard of this case. If you're not aware of it, you can go up there and read his relief, because that's what it was for him. And when you looked at him, when you watched him, it wasn't a show. It was deeply felt. I can be fooled, I guess, but I don't think I'm being fooled by this man. So Megyn Kelly was talking to Kirsten Powers about this, and of course, you know, it's a, in many ways, it is a sham, because they always have to have somebody on who takes the position of the opposition, the negative to the affirmative. And so she came on, but usually they are prepared. And usually they, when they see that there is no way out, that it's dead in the water, that until the actual truth comes out, dead in the water, I'm going to go with what this lawyer, this whistleblower, said, or at least give it credence. At least say, if this turns out to be true, then we are in trouble. She did not. In fact, she demonstrated ignorance on a level at which Megyn Kelly just couldn't deal with. So Kelly asks her about the case. It's a case in which members of the new Black Panther Party were standing out in front of a Philadelphia polling station, and they had batons, weapons, and they were intimidating voters. There's video of this, and there are witnesses to this. And the case, by the way, the case was brought by the Department of Justice, and they won by default. But as they were about to prosecute what appears to be for political reasons, the case was dropped. And so Kelly asks Ms. Powers what she thinks of the case. And Powers, just in her typical offhand way, this is a cut 18, Charles.
I'm sorry, you can actually put me in the same category of people who don't really give a darn, because I looked at the video. The guy wasn't really intimidating people. They were walking past him and voting.
But Megyn, I think... The guy wasn't really intimidating anybody. I mean, I want you to remember that. The guy really wasn't intimidating anybody. This is what she says at the beginning. The guy really wasn't intimidating anybody. He had a stick in his hand, and you know, there may be witnesses and all of that, but I looked at the tape and I saw, I mean, he wasn't intimidating anybody. Well, Ms. Kelly didn't go for that. Go on, 20.
The minute I challenge you, you tell me I don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you don't.
You just want people to come on and just agree with you that what you've been doing and the way you've been completely like doing the scary black man thing, you know, the man standing outside,
what?
So horrible. You know, this guy was one person. There was an injunction against him. The injunction was enforced. The Civil Rights Division decided that there wasn't a case to pursue against anyone else.
The scary black man? Just a scary black man. You're pulling a scary black man routine? In other words, what? What is she calling Megyn Kelly? Calling her a racist. Right? Calling her a racist. Oh, she didn't use those words. But that's precisely what she's doing. And of course, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She hasn't a clue as to what she's talking about.
There is now a policy, and he's got names. Julie Fernandez, a political appointee within the DOJ who came out and issued a mandate that the law would not be enforced equally, which every attorney agrees, if that is the policy in place, it is illegal. Does that not concern you at all?
And you asked him about when he was in the Bush administration and how politicized that office was and how they only hired conservatives and how there's an entire GAO report
so
and
you don't answer.
Part of that whole thing?
So two wrongs make a right.
No, I'm just curious. Do you ask him about that? You have him on and you interview him. Do you ask him about his role in that?
The woman doesn't know anything about the case and moves on to the Bush administration. She's on there ostensibly to talk about the Black Panther case that is not going to be prosecuted, about a policy of not prosecuting any black man if it is a case in which a white person is the victim. That is why she's there, and that is what the case is about. And all that Kirsten Powers can do is talk about the Bush administration and impugn the integrity of Megyn Kelly by insinuating that she's raising the specter of a crazy black man. Play clip 17.
You don't seem to know what you're talking about.
Well, I think I do, Megan.
Well, I don't think I have read the testimony that was given before the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights.
The Department of Justice got an injunction against him. What do you want him to do?
Have you read the testimony?
I talked to the Department of Justice at length about this.
Have
they got
you
an injunction
read
against
the testimony
the
that no, was given Megan, to the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights?
It doesn't matter. They got an injunction against him. No, but they got an injunction against him.
You clearly don't know what you're talking about.
They got an injunction.
Congressman Sherman should have been up to date on this or not.
Megan?
But you cannot debate
Megan, why
what happened
answer my
at
question?
That polling station, Kirsten, because
why
the witness...
Why won't you answer my question?
What's your question?
I do care. They got an injunction against him. What more do you want them
I'll
to do?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you, because you clearly don't know the facts of this case. They got an injunction...
I actually do.
Let me finish. They got an injunction against Samir Shabazz, barring him from appearing at any polling station forevermore. Any place.
Okay.
They then downgraded their own injunction after they won it and said, you know what, we changed our minds. He's only barred from going to Philly and only through 2012. Moreover, they got an injunction against two other members of the Black Panther Party and the party itself. They then got
okay.
rid of that injunction
and
altogether.
Megan.
So don't tell me that they did all they could. And don't tell me there was no voter.
I'm curious
there was no
if you were this outraged when the Bush administration was downgrading all of their investigations.
Don't you just love it? Isn't it exciting when you have one person who appears on a television program and doesn't know anything that they're talking about at all? They are not prepared to talk about a case, but they feel so much. They know intuitively that their feelings will override any intellect that is on the table. We'll play it for you when we come back. We have a tape of Mr. Shabazz. They're all Shabazz, by the way. There are so many Shabazzes that it's very difficult to... There's King Samir Shabazz, the gentleman who's in question. Then there's Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is the head of the new Black Panther Party. King Samir Shabazz, the one who is the subject of this, and who was intimidating people with his billy stick, was off at a Harlem gathering. And he was out in the street with a bullhorn. And this is the guy, this is the scary black man. When we come back, you will hear what the scary black man said. You will hear why this case is important. We will take your calls. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. We have been talking about an incident with Megyn Kelly and Kirsten Powers, and Kirsten Powers literally fell apart on the stand. She crumbled. There was nothing there. When things fell apart, she, as most liberals, fell back on their emotion. Unfortunately, when you say things in the heat of emotion, like calling or intimating that someone is a racist, by bringing up the specter of a boogeyman, that Megyn Kelly was bringing up the specter of a black man, a scary black man, as opposed to a violent individual who was intimidating voters. Now, who is this guy King Samir Shabazz. Who is he? Well, we have an audio clip of Mr. Shabazz.
I hate white people. All of them. Every last iota of a cracker, I hate it. We didn't come out here to play today. There's too much serious business going on in the black community to be out here sliding through South Street with white, dirty, cracker whore on our arm, and we call ourselves black men with African garb on. What the hell is wrong with you, black man? You had a doomed day with a white girl on your damn arm. You want freedom? You're gonna have to kill some crackers. You're gonna have to kill some of their babies.
There is the specter of a scary black man. It would be the specter of a scary man at all, of any kind of man. There was no racism. This man didn't belong in front of a polling place. Megyn Kelly called it sacred. She said it was sacred. Kirsten Powers didn't agree with that. But what did Kirsten Powers do? She started off this exchange. What caused Megyn Kelly to be so angry? Kirsten Powers said she saw the tape. Him standing there with his billy club? Yeah, that was not intimidating.
I'm sorry, you can actually put me in the same category of people who don't really give a darn, because I looked at the video. The guy wasn't really intimidating people. They were walking past him and voting.
But I didn't say it wasn't voter intimidation. You're putting words in my mouth.
I didn't say it wasn't voter intimidation.
All right. He wasn't intimidating anybody. I didn't say that there wasn't any voter intimidation. I didn't say that. Now, how did that happen? How can you in one place say there's no intimidation and then say you didn't say that? Within a span of 7 minutes. And in the meantime, call somebody a racist because they are telling the truth. Unless you don't have an intellectual faculty that governs your emotional faculty. There's always the, I was wrong. I didn't see that correctly. That always is there for you to say, I don't know. And sometimes that can be very interesting and lead to real revelations. But in this case, it didn't. Because there is an ideological problem. And they all know what the truth is. There are things going on. You just saw the NAACP throw the race card down against the Tea Party movement. Louis Farrakhan has been writing Jewish leaders asking for reparations. The head of the new Black Panther Party was just on television. Malik Zulu Shabazz, wanting to know about reparations and what people think about reparations. Because reparations, by the way, reparations, something that the president has talked about. He was against a formal apology by the Congress of the United States because it might inhibit those later from demanding reparations. An apology is not enough. Race is now the defense against disagreeing with this president and this administration. And it isn't going to go away. When the president of the United States sends his wife to say, kick up the intensity. It's very reminiscent of when the president, when he was running, campaigning, was urging his followers to go out and get in their faces. Because we are not bringing people together, folks. That's not what this is about. We are about separating people and looking in the crannies for power. How to manipulate, how to maneuver, how to force one group into another and turn one group against another. That's why we have the problem that we have in Arizona right now. And I'm not talking about the bill passed by Arizona. I'm talking about the President of the United States urging, by his silence, one state to turn on another, pitting brother against brother. I want to get to the callers. I want to get to the callers that we have here now. We have James in Palm Beach Bay, Florida. You are on the Savage Nation with Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage.
Yes, good afternoon, Dwight. This is James.
Hey, James.
Yes, may I just speak on the voting issue? My grandfather, a World War II veteran, he told me one day, he said, I don't care who you vote for, but you need to vote. And if I may just say that, that is so true. We cannot have people intimidating our voters. You're a voter, I'm a voter, and a taxpayer also. And I'd just like to get your comment on that because I have been listening, and I do agree with what you're saying.
Well, thank you for your call. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, people have died for votes. That's what this country is about. There have been. I am not a perfect human being. There is no country in the world that is perfect. There is no system that is perfect. Nothing is perfect. All that we have are imperfect things fashioned by imperfect people. But we look at this imperfection through the glimmer and the shimmer of ideals that created them. We can never attain that. We hope to. We aspire. Ask yourself, what brings tears to your eyes faster than anything else? Is it not, and please be honest, is it not your own failure to attain your own ideals when you recognize how you have failed and how far you have to go? This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. I am a professional actor. I have been for 40 years. I've worked with Paul Newman as a liberal, Sissy Spacek, Whoopi Goldberg in a film called The Long Walk Home. Worked with Maggie Smith on Broadway, many, many, many famous people who would be considered liberals. It is a rough road to hoe when liberals run the show. In another time, in the 50s, Hollywood was a very conservative and patriotic place. Most of the motion picture stars, the figments back then, most of them, generalization, most of them understood that where they were was through the grace of God, that there was some fortune, something beyond them that put them there, which didn't mean they didn't have egos, which didn't mean that they didn't understand that they were extraordinarily talented and that there's some reason for them being there, but that there was something bigger. And because there was something acknowledged as larger than themselves, there was something else that existed. It was called gratitude. We don't have a lot of gratitude today. Now, what we have today is a lot of demands for rights. We have a lot of demands for rights, although the people demanding them don't usually know where the rights are coming from. They don't. They haven't a clue. And so they make it up. then usually they make it up from inside out. Mental faculties are thrown to the side. The most important thing is the thing which is the most base, which is what we feel. Telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. I am filling in for Dr. Michael Savage. Dwight Schultz, I have been a conservative all my life.
Tell me who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are.
What was that? Did you recognize that? Can you play that again?
Tell me who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are.
Oh, man! Do you believe that he said that? He said that with the president of Mexico, Calderon. Tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who. Well, you know, the only problem with him saying that is that you understand he didn't think anybody was listening. Or he had nothing but contempt for you. Because who does he walk with? For 20 years, he walked with Jeremiah Wright. Jeremiah Wright, a racist, a black liberation theologist who hates white people and Jews and has no compunction sharing those thoughts with anybody and any person who will listen. Tell me who you walk with. I'll tell you who you are. Mr. President.
The government gives them the drugs, builds bigger prisons, passes a three-strike law, and then wants us to sing God Bless America. No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America.
Tell me who you walk with. I will tell you who you are. I'm using your words, Mr. President. Nobody else. This isn't guilt by association. This is guilt by chosen association. And don't tell me you didn't know what he was saying. You've said it. Tell me who you walk with. I'll tell you who you are. So I'm telling you who you are. You are Jeremiah Wright. You're all the people that you've appointed. All of them. Each and every one that you had a hand in. John Holdren, who said we need to redistribute the income of the United States of America to the rest of the world. We have to lower our standard of living so that the rest of the world can raise their standard of living. Who the hell says that? You did. Through John Holdren. Who the hell is Van Jones? Americans died in Korea. Americans died in Vietnam against communists. And you appointed one. Why? You walk with Van Jones. I heard Valerie Jarrett say you had your eye on him. I heard it. You walked with him. That's who you are. So don't anybody tell me if I use the word Marxist or I use the word socialist or I use the word communist that I don't have a right. You told me yourself. Tell me who you walk with and I'll tell you who you are. That's who you are. You're Cass Sunstein, who at the University of Chicago fiddles with minutiae trying to figure out how to screw the United States of America. He wrote an article called Climate Change Justice. He didn't believe in global warming. He just saw it as a tool, the way Saul Alinsky saw tools that you grab a hold of, you squeeze the power out of it. You show other people how to use that particular tool to gain power. One group against another. It's now called cap and trade. We just found out that it's about to come back in through Harry Reid in a reduced form, a revised form. Nonsense. That's who you are, Mr. President. You pit brother against brother. All this nonsense about bringing people together. And you said, I hear you. You said, I remember. Oh, those who don't, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to listen to you. Because I'm not an ideologue, because that's exactly what I am. I do what I want to do. Mr. President, tell me who you walk with, and I'll tell you who you are. I've just told you. I could go on and on. But here we are, stuck. Stuck in a world that makes no sense. A man who has given his soul to Europe, to globalism. If Michael Savage, Dr. Michael Savage, finds his name on a list banned from Europe, it's because they sat around and laughed about it. You know, here's a guy who tells the truth, and I don't think we want that.
No, I don't think we want that name here. I think the truth would be a problem, don't you? Don't you think that somebody coming over here and actually telling the truth would cause a ripple in the monarchy? Maybe Piccadilly Square might come together? Would send them... Is that it?
You've got a globalist in the White House, and don't tell me that they haven't talked about Michael Savage being banned from Great Britain. It is connected. This nonsense is connected. How can we have a president appointing a communist when 60, 70,000 Americans died to fight communism and not a word asked? How can this be? It's not a conspiracy because it's not illegal. We always mistake that. The C word is used frequently, and it's a misnomer. Anyone can get together with anybody else and plan something. It's not a conspiracy. It's just a plan. And right now we're in the globalist plan. I want to get to some callers here. We have Michael from New York. You are on the Savage Nation. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael.
Mr. Schultz, it's an honor to speak to you. You're one of my childhood heroes from when I was little, when I watched the A-Team. I just want to say it's refreshing that to actually Michael Savage being banned from Britain, I think it's just clear-cut that the liberal government there is just terrified of the Muslims that they wanted to throw on the list. So they felt the need to put him on to try to placate them by putting him on doubly, since he's also a Jewish man. It helps them cover up and protect themselves from an Islamic backlash in their own country.
Thank you for your call. It was extraordinarily perceptive. There are reasons for everything. It is not accidental. None of this is accidental. The anti-Semitism in Europe is at a very high temperature right now. We could sit here and do an entire program about the hatred for Jews all across the spectrum in Europe that has now boiled to the top because there is no courage to call it what it is. And it is a symptom, the steam escaping, the Jewish hatred, which we had in the 30s. And, you know, it's you just can't get rid of it. When you avoid the truth, all that you avoid is the final payment. If you owe the money, you end up paying it. And even if you die, your children pay for it. And we are watching it. How many times in my life how did they let this happen? He wrote this book, Mein Kampf. He was right there, a blueprint. And it's because no one wants to believe in that irrationality. No one wants to say, you know what? We've got a very heavy load to bear now. We have to dig in and do something about it. Everybody would rather just say, you know what? It's not real. Putting my hands over my ears, and I'm going, la 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 la. I'm going to speak in tongues now. I don't hear you. Folks, that's exactly what's going on in Europe. You cannot make sense out of that which is irrational. And to understand that, that is an important thing to know. And it's all, if you listen to this president, you listen to this administration, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk with Ahmadinejad in Iran. And we're going to talk to them as if they're eating a breakfast on Fifth Avenue. It's not going to happen. He's built a hotel for the Mahdi and a highway. The Mahdi, and he won't change his jacket. You can't sit down with somebody who won't change his jacket. This is Dwight Schultz. I'm sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. We invite you all to call. I am a professional actor. I have been for 40 years, a conservative all my life. I have proffered the idea that the reason I have been a conservative is that my parents loved me and I loved them. I was shown respect, and therefore I demonstrated respect and that upbringing as I left the home. When I got to college, everyone hated their parents. Everyone. That's all that anybody talked about. How much they hate my parents. I hate this one. I hate her. Oh, God. I just can't go back. And it was very disturbing to me. I couldn't become involved in the conversations. I couldn't. I had to withdraw. It's very similar to being an actor in Hollywood. I do not believe, a lot of people say, well, is there a blacklist because you're a conservative? No, I don't believe so. There may be on napkins somewhere. There may be a blacklist. And certainly you are ostracized if you are combative. That happened to me. And you lose friends. Somebody says, Ronald Reagan, that blank. And then you say, no, you're the blank. Then there's, call me this name. It's just amazing. And then what you do, you feel bad. You say, well, why are you crying? And then you apologize, and then you never see those people again. And so you learn that you have to sacrifice a little bit of your integrity to work with people who do not share any of your values or your view of this country, life, God, marriage, family, and children. Because that's how bad it is. And then you think about it year after year, realizing that the entertainment industry was the subject of intense international espionage. And I don't mean it in the sense of stealing. I mean infiltration, subterfuge. At one point in Hollywood, every script went to the Kremlin. The communist philosophy was absolutely, it was adored in Hollywood. That's where the Hollywood 10 came from. All the myths about all these people out here during, and a lot of it is a misnomer. Because the Hollywood 10 were nothing but commie traitors. But they've attained mythic status because, well, is there a film about the communist Soviet Union that you can think of that was revelatory about the murders in the Ukraine, about Stalin's murder of his wife, about one person after the other disappearing? Not just in real life, but then off of pictures. You disappear off of, in real life, then the pictures. I wonder if it was the other way around ever. I wonder if Stalin ever played. Hey, take him off this picture and see if he gets running scared. Remove him and remove him. Then go kill them. But let them think about it for 10 minutes. I wonder if that happened. But Hollywood didn't write any movies about that. Did you ever wonder why? Do you ever wonder why we have the country that we have today and the news media that we have today? It's all tied into globalism, Marxism, socialism, and communism, and real subterfuge. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. I just want to remind our listeners, for our listeners in Chicago, on our affiliate WIND, Gary Sinise, good friend of mine, and the Lieutenant Dan Band will be doing a concert on July 17th out in Wheaton, Illinois, rocking for the troops to raise money to support Operation Support Our Troops in Illinois. For more information, go to osotil.org. osotil.org. Gary Sinise is about as good as they come, folks. I want to take a caller here. Tony in Phoenix, Arizona. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage, and you are now live on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Mr. Schultz. I just want to make 2 points real quick. It's you, me, the Megyn Kellys of the world at Tea Parties. We're trying to hold this together, this country together. And it's the Kristen Powers of the world and those people who want to be politically correct and not hurt black people's feelings or Muslims' feelings that are going to sell this country down the river. Now, that clip right there, the deer in the headlights look she had when Megyn Kelly confronted her with the facts,
yes,
is the same look they're going to have when the Nation of Islam comes down on them. And Mr. Shabazz, in the previous interview he had with Megyn Kelly, one of the things that I came away from that was that the Justice Department has forfeited its authority in prosecuting individuals, and they've even said, as the guy who resigned has stated, that they are not going to prosecute cases based on race. And to me, this reveals a attempt to implement Sharia law in this country.
Well, I thank you for your call. There is much to be gained and much to be extracted from what is now going on in the Justice Department. It is a full frontal assault. If you look at, just take, let's just say that our bodies is that we are, this is the Constitution of the United States and the United States of America. The Justice Department is up there in the brain somewhere, making decisions. And what we have right now is a virus that has gone right to the hippocampus. We have a virus. It's in the brain, and it is prohibiting the Constitution of the United States from doing what it is supposed to do. We have laws. The laws are constructs created by men, fallible people, to create order. Order takes a great deal of energy. The whole Department of Justice, the Constitution, everything that you see around you has taken an immense amount of energy. To destroy all of this today, 40, 50 years ago, it would have taken a few weeks. Today, it would take a few days with the right equipment. And by that, I mean bombs, lethal drugs, chemicals, biological agents. All of this, if you do not believe that all of this could go in an instant. If you don't believe that, you are a liberal. Conservatives believe that civilization is hanging by a thread, by how well we guard truths that are self-evident. No matter how hard it was to get here, because I know when the Constitution was written, all people were not equal. But the framers said they were, and they knew that one day they would get there. Everybody sets their sights on the future and getting there, knowing that it's going to be a hard pull. But we don't say we're not going to get there and get there unless we're Marxists. They don't care. Marx said basically, blame other people for what you do. You know, he was pretty open about it. Yeah, if you read the Communist Manifesto, you read Mein Kampf, you read those things, you see these people pretty open about what it is they believe and what they're going to do. And right now, we see a full frontal assault, and we now see the blueprint of what this president and this party, which used to be the Democratic Party, which is now a far-left party that calls itself mostly progressive. We don't know what it really is. We can really call it anything we want. Yes, we can. I mean, we're being told every single day that nothing that we knew yesterday is real. Marriage isn't marriage. Marriage isn't between a man and a woman. It's between two guys. It's between two women. It's between anything. If I want to, I can call John Kerry Miss John Kerry. And Theresa Hines, Mr. Theresa Hines. In fact, I should do that. In fact, from now on, that's what I will do with whomever I wish to do it. Miss Barack Obama and Mr. Michelle Obama. That's the way it can be. And don't ask, don't tell. Sex is not important. Doesn't mean anything. It does. It means nothing. Homosexuality doesn't mean anything. Heterosexuality doesn't mean anything. The sexes are meaningless. Androgyny is the only thing that's important in political correctness. And political correctness demands that we teach children that we're all the same, that their body, you think that you're missing a penis and you think that you don't have a vagina. You do. You just don't see it. It's all there. It's going on behind your ears, in front of your face. It's happening day by day. And it's all part of the program written many, many years ago, how you break down a capitalistic free society. You chew away at the family. You chew away at religion. You chew away at this concept of rights. You use words constantly to correct people. It is the collective that's important. It is the group that's important. You don't use the words used by the gurus and gods of the godless world, the Saul Alinskys. And we'll get to that later. You are not going to believe this Saul Alinsky stuff. It's so perfect for today with our Chicago president, Miss Barack Obama, and Mr. Michelle Obama. It's perfect. Saul Alinsky had it really down. And even back in the 70s, when he was still alive, and you're going to hear his voice. You know, it's good to hear a voice connected with somebody who's talked about all of the time. Someone that Hillary was enamored with and who the president has been seen at a blackboard. Alinsky with little diagrams, spider diagrams going every which way. What's in his mind? Well, it isn't a mystery. It isn't a mystery. It's all about power. And it isn't about anything good or bad. It's just about chaos, control, and power. Take the power and put one group against another. And then from it, you rush in and take what's left. And it's a lot more than what you would have had if you hadn't seen that carnage. And they're blatant, folks. If you think the Black Panther case, Shabazz, if you think the president turning brother against brother is accidental, you are fooling yourself. It's very well thought out. Some individuals are just beginning to understand, hey, you know what? We have these sanctuary cities in the United States. And these sanctuary cities provide comfort to those who are illegal who come across the border through Arizona. Now, isn't it interesting that the state there have been murders and rapes in Arizona? A lot of crime committed by illegals. Not all the illegals have been caught. Where do they go? Do they go back to Mexico? Or could they have gone to a sanctuary city? And could Arizona more justifiably say, you know what? You are responsible for the 240,000 illegal aliens that we captured last year and how God knows how many we didn't. I think that that burden is criminal. And I think if there were going to be any kind of lawsuit, that good, well-meaning people in the United States should start thinking about that. That every sanctuary city has been the incipient cause of gangsterism in Arizona. And there's no way you can disprove it. because you do not know who has come to your sanctuary city through Arizona and who has committed a crime. You have caused crime on your brother's land, on your sister's home porch. You have done it. Every time you sat at your little table with your little bureaucrat and said, "We're a sanctuary city. We're a sanctuary city. Doesn't it feel good now? I'm bouncing up and down. Look, I've gained 20 pounds, and you can see each pound moving up and down as I do it. I'm a sanctuary person." You can do this and be guilty of somebody's death and not know it because you are mindless. It's not a coincidence that the Justice Department has decided not to remove from the voter rolls criminals and those who are not qualified to vote. Now, we're going to leave them there. We're not going to prosecute that. We may lose a senator from Minnesota. I would hate to do that. No, we're not going to do that. Isn't it funny? In Barack Obama's book, Dreams from My Father, you know, there's two versions. There's the book, and then there's the audio tape. It's a fascinating thing. I read the book, and then I bought the audio tape, and I listened to it. It's abridged. Some of the things which I highlighted in the book, particularly his coaching by Frank Davis, Frank Marshall Davis, a communist poet, pornographer in Hawaii, was one really important quote, which he says to Barack, and Barack writes it if Barack wrote the book. "Black people have a reason to hate. We have a reason to..." Now, I agree with that. I agree with it. Don't get me wrong. But that was cut out of the... That was cut out of the audio disc. Frank Marshall Davis was cut out. The important aspects of his relationship with that guy, who his grandparents shoved on Barack. All radicals, by the way, to some degree or another. But that important quote, "Black people have a reason to hate," was cut out of the book. And what you are seeing right now, what you are seeing in the Justice Department and what you are seeing in Arizona and all across this country, the emphasis on racism, 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 is all connected to that. Black people have a reason to hate. And for 20 years, I sat in a church, quote unquote, a black liberation, bastardized Christianity theology church. Marxism shoved on the crucifix. Christ removed, Sandinista soldier put there. And I listened to a bigot and a Jew hater for 20 years. And by God, I'm an ideologue. And I'm not going to forget that black people have a reason to hate. And every chance I get, I'm going to make sure that race, because it's such a great tool, plays an important part in the dialogue. It's a recipe for disaster. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. The telephone number here is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go to Malcolm in Fresno, California. You are on the Savage Nation, Malcolm.
How you doing, sir?
Very good. How are you?
Good, good. Well, my whole thing is, you know, I don't know if it's an all raw deal thing, but a lot of stuff that I hear, you spoke a lot of truth earlier, but then I hear about the black thing, and that kind of gets on my nerves a little bit. Speaking for the fact that your last speaker was talking about offend black people, and I don't think America has ever cared about offending black people. So therefore, that I think that one is misplaced. And then you said that in the book it was cut out that blacks do have a right to whatever hate, and you agreed with that. But we are peaceful people by nature, and I don't think the average black man was stoop low enough to...
No, I agree. Listen, Malcolm, I totally agree with you. I am not what is happening today is a result of black people in this country. This is political ideology. This is pure politics. This is not black people. There's a lot of white people who are behind this. This is about separating people. This is about getting between whites and blacks and making sure that we have these distinctions. Because without these, I have, you know, in Saul Alinsky, who is a protege, what Alinsky said was, and this is in 1972, that if you took all of the groups and put them together, there wasn't anything. The majority of people in this country are happy, and the majority of people in this country are from their own standpoint, powerful enough. The problem is maintaining separation from them and demonstrating for them that that this separation and maintaining separation can be a source of power. Separation can be a source of power. So not only do you bring people together who you agree with, but separating groups that you want to separate to maintain your power is essential. And what I am saying is that what the president of the United States is doing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I want you to chime in here. Everything he is doing is saying, well, if there is a conflict, I'm going to make sure that the conflict intensifies. Look at Arizona. First he said there was racial profiling going on. Now he stepped back from it. But then, in the meantime, you have 5, 6, 7 lawsuits from various states directed right towards the state of Arizona about racial profiling and everybody standing up and talking about brown-skinned people being victims. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But I understand all that, too. But my bottom line with that stance is there's a law that was broken. So the law that was broken is you came over here illegally, so regardless of what you did or built or have put together in this country is irrelevant to me. But
that's right. I agree. No, I agree with that. But that is not what the president is doing. The president denies that. He denies the fact that the law is broken is unimportant. The important thing is that there is racial animus. He is the one who is creating a racial animus where, in fact, it doesn't exist.
Me some enlightenment here. I'm just, you know, I just don't like to hear, like, you know, but I see you're an intelligent man, and the way you speak, and you speak a lot of truth. I just don't like the little things.
It's hard. Listen, it's very difficult to talk about it because the first thing that I am hearing, the Tea Party, okay, you know, the NAACP has just, you know, basically said the Tea Party is filled with racists. That is a very difficult thing to expunge. Once the stain is there, you'll talk about it endlessly. Endlessly. I'll be called a racist. I have been called a racist. There is no more conversation once you're called a racist. It's over. Because you spend the entire time saying, I am not a racist.
Right.
Yeah. You know, do you know what I'm saying? It's like calling someone a communist when you're trying to have a discussion. Once you call someone a communist, the discussion is over because you have determined that that's what they are. You don't want to discuss it if you call them that, if you're in a discussion with them. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. If I were listening today, I would be disappointed. But you can't be. You can't be today. A little bit. But you have to stay. I'm a professional actor, have been for 40 years. I've been a conservative all my life. I've wanted to be an actor all my life. But I was educated by talk radio. Educated by talk radio more so than any professor in any university. I learned very early on, when I got to university, that I had nothing in common with the other students there because they hated their parents and I did not. It's a huge, huge thing. And in fact, I found it continuously that when there was someone I politically migrated toward, that their relationship with their family was more or less moderate. They had the typical conflicts. But when it came to love, there was never words of hatred or distaste or disdain. I didn't find that with liberals. And I also found that conservatives didn't in general take a lot of drugs. I had nothing but fights with people who took drugs. Because when you're working in the theater, and I had a degree in theater arts, you're working with somebody and they're taking marijuana, they're drinking, they're cued. The lines don't come. And you can tell. And you know whether it's marijuana or whether it's alcohol. And you become angry. And then they giggle. And that really was, and perhaps that ingrained in me and imprinted upon me a distaste for that liberalization. I didn't drink alcohol till I was 26. So I was out working before I drank anything. I drank coffee. But I went through my formative years without the substances. And it's hard. It's hard when I look back and maybe I am prejudiced. Maybe that's the correct word to use. And perhaps I jump to conclusions. But it was always liberals who told me and who tried to coax me into taking drugs. It was, and I used to think, what is the purpose of this? Why should my mind be altered if I'm trying to understand the world? I understand trying to get to sleep. I understand sleeping pills. I'm in bed. I'm trying to close my eyes. Nothing will happen. Give me a pill. I understand that. But getting up in the morning, going out, seeing other people, reading the newspaper, understanding that there's life and death going on all around. Why drugs? I just never understood it. Couldn't understand it. I want to do something here for a moment. The telephone number, by the way, 1-800-449-8255 on the Savage Nation. I want to give a voice to the name that is most often used around our president to describe him and the pretender to the throne, who is now Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. God help us all. She wrote a thesis on Saul Alinsky. The president is frequently pictured. There's a picture of him at a blackboard organizing. Community organizer. Alinsky loved community organizing. He, when you hear him, you'll hear his voice. I have many, many cuts. I only have this one today. I'd like to have had many, but you can't on a program like this. But at least you will have a voice to connect. When people say, Saul Alinsky, you'll hear it. And he's talking about pollution. That's back in 1972. As not, it really doesn't matter. Whether you're talking about cap and trade today or healthcare, you when you listen to this guy, you realize all of these things, Fabian socialists, communists, they create an artificial crisis. An artificial crisis. And that crisis has only one solution, since it doesn't exist. And that's the solution that the socialist communists, whoever they are, come up with. Because it's easy, right? The problem doesn't exist. So no matter what you say, will be the solution. If you go back in history to 1996 and look at sustainable development, it's attached to our NAFTA treaty. It was, and Bill Clinton and Al Gore were constantly sustainable development, really important. I can't sustain anything. Sustainable development. And it was too big for the bumper sticker. And this is came out of the Rio Treaty way back when. And this is when they were going to have a carbon tax. They were talking about a carbon tax. It died. So now it becomes part of global warming and cap and trade. It's the same crisis, same continual crisis. They're still trying because they are tenacious. They are rapacious liberals. Progressives. Let me call their name by what they are. They are progressives. I'll call them that. Miss Barack Obama and Mr. Hillary Clinton. They turned it into global warming. And global warming has gone by, I understand. Of course, you can't believe anything that they say. And back in 72, it was pollution. And you'll hear Saul Alinsky talk. It's about 50 seconds or so, but you'll get a flavor of the guy, and we'll talk about it after we come out. It's cut 23.
The problem of pollution, if you ask me on a personal basis, pollution in the Pentagon and in the White House, you know, not just the air and the and water and so on, but you start with one issue, and an issue which is specific and immediate as far as people are concerned. When you say to them, well, here's this pollution that you're suffering from this utility or this problem right here and now. Because unless it's something that is specific and immediate and you can do something about, you're not going to start getting organization going. And the same thing goes for the development of the proxy tactic or anything else. None of them within themselves are really more than simple devices to try to get people organized, because as they get organized and get power.
There you go. As they get organized and get power, it really doesn't matter. What matters is the power. The power comes from healthcare. Get people together. All of a sudden, we have a crisis in healthcare. It wasn't healthcare, it's insurance. No, it's not insurance. It's what? Why? The best healthcare in the world is being destroyed so that someone else can gain power. Cap and trade is now being recycled once again by Mr. Reed. They're going to take us all down. That's what they want to do. Cap and trade, global warming. If they can take an issue, throw it in your face, mobilize you, they remove power from someone else, like a sponge dropped in water. That sponge soaks up the water and it's the power. And that's what their issues. It is not about humanity. This president doesn't give a damn about anybody who's going to get health care. That's not what this is about. Never has been. It's just not there. None of these people do. It's about power. It's about getting power, holding on to power. And they will say anything and everything. Did you hear, for instance, the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi? I mean, the gall of these people, it's astonishing. I have a cut. Well, let me get to this first. When she said the other day that unemployment benefits were the greatest stimulus that our economy could experience, and all economists agree, it is a joke. It is a complete and total joke. There are no jobs being created. Unemployment benefits are important to people. I mean, it's an important thing. It's a safety net. It does not create jobs. It puts money in the pockets of people who do not have jobs. It does not create them. Only by infusing money in the private sector or telling people who are in the business of creating jobs that they're going to keep some money will jobs be created. I want to build furniture. I want to build tables. and I need X number of people to build tables. But if you're going to take 50% of my profits, I can only build half the number of tables I want to build. Oh, I can keep that 50%? I'm going to hire twice as many, build three times the number of tables. And suddenly there are jobs. And there is money. And there is the promotion of individuality. Unemployment benefits is a collective deployment. It is it's a net that is thrown over the body politic to bring everybody together. Because the more people who are receiving unemployment benefits at the same time, the more sense of collective agreement they all have. And if everybody is collecting unemployment benefits all of the time, we suddenly have become totally and completely a socialist nation. It's an astonishing thing. When we come back, I'm going to play for you. This is the last thing I'm going to play. I'm going to play for you two cuts from the whip, majority whip in the House. This goes to the essence of the problem that we have. Anything and everything will be said, no matter how senseless or how deceptive. And it is not caught frequently. You have to hear it back. I didn't catch this when I first heard it. I had to listen to it a second time. It will blow you away, the dishonesty of these people and what they will say just to say something. This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Savage. And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. And we are going to go to Neil in Boston, Massachusetts. Neil, you are on the Savage Nation.
Hello. I just wanted to touch on the Black Panther Party thing you were talking about a little while ago.
Yes.
And, you know, there's bigotry against on both sides of the color line, but institutional racism, bigotry with power, only goes really one way. And you have to, you know, you're willing to talk about bigotry by blacks against whites, but you're not willing to talk about institutional racism against blacks by whites that is much more powerful, pervasive, and long-standing.
Who said I'm not willing to talk about that?
Well, you haven't talked about it.
Well, I haven't talked about it because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the president of the United States, and there isn't much more power than that, who is using race to set one person against another. Now, tell me, is there a greater institutionalized power than the president of the United States calling something racist when it is not and using it to set one person upon another, whether they are of color or not?
It's now fashionable for conservatives.
No, answer my question. Don't talk about conservatives. The president of the United States, it does not get more powerful or more institutionalized. He was elected. He is using race as a weapon. Is that institutional power? And is it being used for – is that institutional racism coming from the president?
No. He's not a racist. He's not trying to subjugate white people. Conservatives are always saying now – that when people point out racism, they are racist. It's not
subjugation is not necessary. I can subjugate white people. Subjugating is not racism. Racism is stating that someone is inferior by race. Someone can be identified in a myriad of ways simply by race. Racism. It's just race. It's not subjugation. I can subjugate a white person. I can subjugate you. I can subjugate a dog. I can subjugate the person next door. That has nothing to do with racism. That has to do with my particular use of power.
Racism is subjugation, is discrimination, is dehumanization. Barack Obama is not trying to say white people are inferior. That's just not happening.
You are using it in a very narrow term. If I set a black person against a white person and I make the discriminating point that I can persuade someone to do something because of race. And you have to ask yourself what that means. Just because you are black, you can do this. Just because you are white, you can do this. Or if I say, you getting in that car is a racist act. What am I doing?
Black people are pointing out racism and trying to...
It isn't black people. Excuse me. We're not talking about black people. We're talking about political ideologists. That's all that we're talking about here.
I don't see the ideology that's indicating that black people, with any force behind it, that indicates that black people are more powerful.
So the president of the United States has no force. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your call. We can... This is very, very difficult. Talking about race is very hard. When the NAACP came out and did what they did by pulling the Tea Party, which is strictly a small government. I mean, that's all that these people want. They see the country going down the tubes financially and they want to stop it. The president of the United States, because he uses race, because he comes from it. If you read his books, he'll tell you. Everybody... It is an astonishing thing. You don't have to be a racist to use race. You just have to recognize what racism is and what it can accomplish at any point in time. Of course, it does make you a racist, I guess, if you use it. But it can be anybody. We can't be limited.
This is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation. I'm pinching myself to make sure it's real that I'm here. I hope I have not let Dr. Savage down. I hope I have not let you down today on this opportunity and this privilege, great privilege to be at this microphone. A remarkable thing. And I'll take a breather when it's all over. If you go up to Dr. Savage's website, michaelsavage.com, you'll see the topics of the day, and I go there every day because I basically see, what am I thinking? Is he thinking this? I go to a lot of websites, I think the same thing. And sometimes I think, why are we all thinking like this? Am I programmed? I don't know. But we see the same things. And I think it's because conservatives generally do see the same things and find the same things important. That's it. Simple as that. Maybe it's genes. Who knows? That'll be pretty 20 or 30 years in the future. But if you go up there, you will see, and this is connected, folks, to everything else we've been talking about. The Roto-Rooter of the socialists, Marxists, communists, the globalists has gotten into the educational system in every which way that it possibly can. If you go up on savage.com, you'll see something about sex education. In Montana. It's grotesque. It's a few weeks ago there was a story about this in Massachusetts. It's all over the country. Sex education throughout. Now, no one denies that there is an appropriate moment and time to approach the subject of sex in school or anywhere. No one denies that. But the word is appropriate. It's like talking about fear. Irrational fear, not good. Fear, very important to survival. Sex education, appropriate, right. Sex education, inappropriate, not good. Not good. I have a cut from Fox News, Alicia Acuna, encapsulating. What is going on? Now, listen carefully to the grade structure and what is taught at what particular grade. And ask yourself, is this real or is this some kind of joke? Go ahead, play.
Well, beginning in kindergarten, when kids are age 5, they would learn all of the proper names for the sexual anatomy, male and female, what a lot of people refer to as private parts. And then in first grade, it moves on to relationships, where kids start to learn that people can have sex and they can be of the same gender. And then from then on, when you get into fifth and sixth grade, it gets much more detailed about the variety of ways you can have intercourse. And some of those items that they have on the list just simply don't feel comfortable saying on the air right now.
Ow! Oh, God. honest, I hear it. It sounds like child abuse. Appropriate gender. Sex on sex with the same sex. For what? To remove the concept of discrimination? How do you tell a child? What do you You know, we can't. We can't be honest. This, even her description was, why didn't she feel comfortable? Why didn't she feel comfortable describing something? The Supreme Court just said, hey, you know what? You can't penalize somebody financially for saying something. Why can't we have a real discussion? A hard discussion about homosexuality and same-sex sex. Why can't we? I'll tell you why we can't. You and I process information in a very particular way. Everybody understands it. When I say pencil, you see a pencil. You get it? When I say boat, you see a boat unless you're blind. And if you're blind, you figure it out. I don't know. I guess there's an exception to everything. But we process things instantly. We don't describe having sex because it is so base. The concept of reproduction is so automatic in the system that we functionally run from it because we would be controlled by it. Animals don't wear clothes and they fornicate without question. They do not care. We do. Why? Because there are other things. Orangutans go up in a tree. They look at bananas and they eat them. You go up in a tree and say, hey, wait, I can sell that for 49 cents a pound. Big difference. I'm just going to eat this. No, I can sell it. I'm going to hold off. We are in the process. And I want to say this. That I don't want to get to one of the appointees of the president here. A homosexual who has written pornographic literature, How to Teach Children About Sex. Was a little controversial, but we let it go. And now we're finding it in all of our we're going to talk about this. And we're talking about this with a five-year-old, a six-year-old, a seven-year-old, an eight-year-old, a nine-year-old, fifth grader. Yeah, let's get fifth graders together. And you know what? You know what? I want to see Barack and he anyone else he appoints had to go out into a stadium somewhere and show everybody how it's done. You get together with another guy, Barack, and show us, okay? Just so we know. You think this is okay? Don't ask, don't tell. They're going to shove that down the throat of the military. They've just sent out a questionnaire after it's already been decided that there's no question about it. Well, show us. If it's just a matter of, just show us. I want to see it done by you and somebody else to show me how easy it all is. And you do it before you do it to children. Before you force a teacher to do it to a child who's underage and should not be listening to this, you do it for us and have it filmed and videotaped and show it to everybody to show us how easy it is and what it's all about. You won't do it. It's nonsense. We're all taking this as if there's nothing that can be done about it. Yes, the people in Montana, the parents, I hear them. They're crying for help. And generally speaking, the citizens are very responsive. Citizens in general, socially, when they stand up, they say, you know, that's wrong. I instinctively know that that's wrong. I'm listening to it. And there's something about this. We prosecute people hey, Jimmy, come over here. You know, I know you're only 8, 9 years old, but I'm part of the Man Boy Love Association. And I want to show you something and talk to you about stuff that really isn't bad. You know what? I'm sick of this. And I'm sick of the news media. We can't talk about it. We can't talk about it. No, we can't show the planes going into the buildings. And that's too traumatic. And I can't talk about it to adults because that's too traumatic. But the children, we're going to let it go. I was a child once. I know what was going on in my mind when I was a child. I remember it. And I can sit back and I can say, gee, why was I afraid of that? You know what? We are protected as we grow up from various things. Our minds develop as we are able to bring things into our brain normally. But when things are shoved into the brain abnormally, we have abnormal children. and abnormal adults. This is abnormal. It's not good. And there are people who know it. And there is a very small group of individuals. And really, a huge minority. A huge minority. I know, oxymoron. Huge minority that is shoving this nonsense down our throats. And the purpose for it is to dissolve the bonds that hold us all together. Because it is a danger to the ideology that wants to spread and control our lives. And you'll hear it on their lips. And you know, the more that they are exposed, the more they talk about it openly. Strobe Talbott, Hillary Clinton's advisor. You know, it's very interesting. A Soviet just died. He was a defector. Comrade J. Told everybody about how Strobe Talbott was duped by the commies. Yeah, duped. He was Hillary Clinton's advisor. He got into a lot of trouble, about 20, 25 years ago, because he said, in 50 years, the United States will not exist. It was on the cover of Time magazine. He's a globalist. If you talked about it back then, you were called a nut. You were called a conspiratorialist. Today, it's pretty clear, isn't it? We are being drawn into a global society, and the United States, for the first time, has a president who has bowed to the rest of the world and has said, I will do everything I can to make sure we are humble enough to join you. He can be fooled. His plans can be overturned. We can listen to this garbage and change it. It's not too late. But we have to get by the doublespeak. I'm going to give you an example. This is two weeks ago, I used this cut. This is the, you're not going to believe this. Listen carefully. This is the majority whip in the House, Schakowsky. She was on with Bill Hemmer on Fox News, and she was talking, and they were talking about the state of the economy and the failure of the private sector to create jobs. And, now, you have to listen carefully. I'm going to play these cuts. So I'm going to separate them, but I want you to listen carefully first, and I'm going to reiterate what she says, because it is beyond the pale that somebody could say this and get away with it.
We just found out in the last month the private sector created 13,000 jobs.
And you break
that down among states, and it's a couple hundred here and a couple hundred there.
And during the Bush years, zero private sector jobs, net private sector jobs were created.
Now, you see, that's it. This is setting it up. In the Bush years, zero jobs were created. Now, this next cut I used because of her language. It's street language. Check it out. Check it out, man. Check it out. Play cut 25.
Well, you know what? I want you to check out something that a lot of people don't believe. This administration and this Congress is set to create more jobs in 8 months than net jobs created in the last 8 years of the Bush administration.
There you go. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, folks? That's a check it out. The Bush, she said it. Zero net jobs created during the Bush administration, and we are set. And you're not going to believe this. Some people's not going to believe it. Bush created no jobs, and in the next 8 months, we're going to create more jobs than he created in 8 years. He created none. I can create half a job, and it's more. I got away with it. Can you believe that? Can you believe that someone who was the majority whip in the House would say, there were no jobs created in the Bush administration. None. Zero. And guess what? In the next 8 months, we're going to create more jobs than were created during the Bush administration. Oh, gosh, I got away with it. I'm so good. Call Nancy. I've done it. They don't think anybody is listening. They do not care. They can say anything. We have to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
We can't. The financial reform, we're not going to know what it is until we pass it and see what it does. Edwin. These are the people who are running the country. And the press sits back and watches and does nothing because they put them there. And like all cowards, they can never admit to their errors. So they will strike out at something else. But they won't address the absurdity, inanity, the lies, the deception, and the destruction that is taking place as a result. This woman should have been fired for having said that. But no, that'll never happen. People in the Justice Department should be fired for saying that no white person who is the victim of a black person, in any case, that particular case will not be prosecuted. If that is true, the Justice Department should drop whoever it was who was responsible for that edict and cleanse the Justice Department and allow the Constitution and the people of the United States to move forward. This is Dwight Schultz. I'm sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And this is Dwight Schultz sitting in for Dr. Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. First of all, I just want to thank Dr. Michael Savage again. It has been such a privilege. And as I say, if I never get to do it again, I will always be able to say that I did it. And it has been a great privilege. And to this audience, I do know it is perhaps the most loyal audience in all of talk radio. And I am well aware that is the case. And I'm very grateful for those of you who stayed with me and for the calls. It's been quite something for me. I'm still pitching myself. I really won't believe that I've done this until later. I want to leave you. I want to read to you a little bit of an interview with Saul Alinsky. It's appropriate. He's from Chicago. Our president is from Chicago. Blagojevich is from Chicago. Almost everybody that he's brought into the administration is from Chicago. Chicago. And it's known as being a rough town in Chicago politics for reasons. And we all know what those reasons are because we all watch The Untouchables. We either saw the TV series. I saw the TV series because I'm old enough. Or we saw the movie. Well, I think I say, you know, that when Sean Connery is brought into it. But I just found this fascinating. Alinsky, to me, this is just my particular take on him. He sounded like a chess master, somebody who was interested in the game. The game, the game, the game. I see the game. I see people. I see power. I move this around. I don't think much about people or feelings and all this. Yeah, I talk about it, and I'm trying to help people to see where the power is, because without the power, you can't do anything, because it's the power. It's about the power, and that's what he talks about. And I came across this interview because I had the magazine. That's a revelation. I was a typical red-blooded American boy. We talked about Playboy magazine, Penthouse magazine, and Star Trek. Okay. We don't have much time. I'm just going to read a little bit of this. It is in this interview. Alinsky claims to have, well, he wanted to be a criminologist. You notice a lot of directors and everything, how they love, they're drawn to people who have the power of life and death. There's a very peculiar individual who is drawn to someone who has the power of life and death. A lot of directors in Hollywood do it. They love it. And they love dictators and murderers. They love to be at their trials. And here is Alinsky.
I'll tell you something, though. 3 years I spent in Juliet,
were worthwhile because I continued the education in human relationships that I'd begun in the Capone mob. For one thing, I learned that the state has the same mentality about murder as Frank Nitti. You know, whenever we electrocuted an inmate, everybody on the staff would get drunk, including the warden. It's one thing for a judge and a jury to condemn a man to death. He's just a defendant, an abstraction, an impersonal face in a box. But once the poor bastard's been in prison for 7 months, 8 months, well, you get to know him as a human being. You get to know the wife and the kids, and blah, blah, blah. If you can get out of being an official witness, you sit around killing a fifth of whiskey with criminals. Frank Nitti, Al Capone, yeah. You got to read this interview. It'll tell you something about Saul Alinsky. This is Dwight Schultz, sitting in for Michael Savage on The Savage Nation.
Tell me who you walk with, and I will tell you who you are.
Savage.